You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, we're going to talk about the state of the Steelers after two of the worst back-to-back losses all time in franchise history. It's a rough situation for a 7-6 team, and now big questions about how they're going to finish the season and how the franchise moves forward with or without Mike Tomlin. I'm Chris Carter, host of the North Shore Drive podcast, joined today by Brian Batko. It's going to be a big episode to talk about a lot of football here. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find all our written work at post-gazette.com. Find the North Shore Drive podcast on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes from all of our Post-Gazette sports writers, as well as our Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and sometimes Saturday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. It's probably a better place to be in the North Shore than Acrisure Stadium these days, because at least there you can enjoy over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being available on tap. They also have over 20 televisions, so if you don't want to watch the Steelers losing to 10 lost teams, you can have all the options in front of you. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. We'll have more on them later. Brian, I think you were the one person on the Post-Gazette staff in the official pick department to pick the Patriots to win this game. But
no, Ron did as well. We're two peas in a pod.
I apologize. I think Starkey had a 2-2 tie, which was actually rather incrinculent of him. But in all seriousness, you picked it to be 12-9. I don't think anyone expected, if the Steelers were going to lose, that the Patriots would put up 21 points, let alone in the first half. And then all the things that went wrong on the Steelers offense. What was the biggest thing that you saw on the field that was just shocking to see for the Steelers team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the defensive effort being as poor as it was, you know, not just schematically, but, you know, it looked like the Patriots just had more fire and more will to win, which is unbelievable considering they were a 2-10 team coming into this one, and the Steelers were firmly in the playoff hunt. And, you know, we're going to get to all of the potential big picture ramifications of that. But, I mean, they look like the better defense, and we know that their defense had been playing well, but so had the Steelers for the most part until these last couple weeks. And, you know, Mike Tomlin pointed a lot to the challenges of missing inside linebackers, and Elandon Roberts had been playing very well in the stead of Cole Holcomb and Quan Alexander, but clearly they're searching for another player next to him to get the job done. Hunter Henry took advantage of that. Bailey Zappe took advantage of that. Juju Smith-Schuster was surprisingly effective after he looked like he might be washed the first 12 games of the season in his first 12 in New England. So, yeah, the fact that they let the Patriots do that, the fact that the Patriots, let's be honest, did make some plays that I didn't think they were capable of making, especially some of those throws by Zappe, that stunned me. But I'm even more stunned and troubled, Chris, by the post-game reaction to this loss by Steelers coaches and players, coach and players, I should say. I thought we were going to get fire and brimstone in there. I thought we were going to get guys lighting into the team and vowing to turn this season around. They just seemed resigned, honestly. And that might be even worse if apathy is setting in rather than frustration.
I think that's a big part of this too, right? I think, you know, Mike Tomlin said, talked about them, owning what they did and, saying that, of course they're not giving up on the season. I think Cam Hayward brought up an interesting point, and we put the whole video of Cam Hayward up on the Post-Gazette YouTube with some of the questions that I asked him. What did Mike Tomlin say to you guys? Was there any different kind of tone with this being back-to-back losses that, no NFL team with a winning record had lost back-to-back home games to teams with that were eight losses under 500 in NFL history. So, this is historic, and let alone historic for the NFL, it's extremely historic for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Cam Hayward, was kind of like, Mike Tomlin always wants to look at the film. He doesn't want to assign blame to just random people just out of anger. And so he kind of made a point that was like, he said what needed to be said, that we need to come together, and everyone knows that. And I think that that's part of it here. And I think that part of it here is also like the message of the Steelers right now, isn't like, hey, we have no idea what teams are doing. It's, we know what teams are doing, and we're still getting our butts handed to us. And I think that's the thing that they talked about last week with the Cardinals game and talked about this week with the Patriots game. I mean, it's and you look at even some of the plays that they could have made in this game. Mitch Trubisky on that fourth down, admitting like, hey, I had multiple options. I just saw George Pickens in double coverage. I went to Deontay Johnson, and he threw a terrible ball. Meanwhile, Allen Robinson was wide open over the middle of the part of the field. The defense on that third touchdown that they allowed, Devontae KZ, perfect position to just jump to make an interception, for whatever reason slows up, misplays the ball, and lets an interception go right past him, turns into a touchdown. He makes that play, and what I really thought was a standard safety play, when that ball was let go, I was like, oh, that should be intercepted, and he lets that go by. I thought that was a huge flipping of the game right there. And there are several moments like that you could point throughout the game where the Steelers had their opportunities and they haven't made them. And I think that's the big problem right now, is that the Steelers are being put in positions to reasonably win spots, and they just haven't done them the last 2 weeks. And for so many times this year, they had done them. And I think that's how they built their 7-4 resume. But now that's also how they built their 7-6 resume, by not winning in those spots.
Yeah. And as far as just, how do they respond to this? I mean, I guess on one hand, they've been here before. They've been at quote unquote rock bottom. They were 2-6 at the bye last year. A lot of people were like, all right, this is going to be it. This is going to be the 3 or 4 win season that we haven't seen under Mike Tomlin. And, we know how that played out. But at the same time, they haven't been here. You just laid it out there with that stat, Chris. No NFL team has been here to this degree. So I guess I can sort of understand from a standpoint of like, the sky's not falling, we're not pushing the panic button. But also, I just thought somebody was going to get up there, whether it was Tomlin doing his usual, we got to wallow in our stench, it's unacceptable, it's embarrassing, whatever, or Cam Hayward getting up there as the longest tenured player, team captain, Pittsburgh native, and kind of laying down with an opening statement of like, we're sorry to the fans, we apologize to Steeler Nation, this can't happen. I was surprised there wasn't more of that. And look, that I don't pay money to watch this team. I don't buy Steelers merchandise. Like, it doesn't really matter to me either way what they're saying, but I know it matters to the paying customer. And I know the turmoil in the fan base and the frustration that the crowd was feeling last night. And, social media is a cesspool, but it is often a sampling of how Steelers supporters feel. They're tough to support right now. So if the team truly is checked out a little bit, then that's a major, major problem, and something that would not foreshadow good things to come down this final four game stretch.
They have 10 days to rest and kind of get it back together before they play what is going to be a crucial game against the Indianapolis Colts. Regardless of what the Colts do this weekend, that's going to be a game that could set up that could make or break their playoff chances, as the Colts are in it. And the Steelers have now fallen from, an 85% chance to make the playoffs just 5 days ago or 6 days ago now, before they lost to the Cardinals, to now they might need some help if they don't win out the rest of the way in their last four games. And what probably might happen is they win two of those last four games, and then they finish 9-8 And now they will need help to try to get there. We'll talk about a few things there. But I think people want to talk less about this game because it's like, man, like you could talk about the ugly game as much as you want.
And I'll say this, weird things do happen in the NFL. Like, you know, players and Tomlin can't say that last night because nobody wants to hear that.
No one wants to hear that.
You know, the Bills lost to the Patriots this year.
Yeah. Eagles almost lost to the Patriots this year.
The Cowboys lost to the Cardinals without Kyler Murray. So, like, nonsensical results do dot the NFL schedule every single season. But these back-to-back losses, both at home, just, yeah. I mean, it's inexcusable. And there's really no more heads to roll, at least not right now. You know, you already fired your offensive coordinator after losing to a rookie quarterback in the Browns. So there's not many other measures as far as that goes. But yeah, just, you know, you've got to be optimistic that this team is in a state of calm because they're confident and not a state of calm because they feel like it's slipping away from them. And sort of to your point earlier, Chris, like there really are no answers because they're just not good enough.
Yeah. I think that's part of it there for sure is you know what, there's serious talent problems. And I think that kind of plays into the real Mike Tomlin conversation that I think needs to be had about moving forward. We'll get into a lot of Mike Tomlin talk because as bad as this loss was, and we can keep chopping up how bad it is, I think that all of Pittsburgh is looking at one thing right now. What do you do about Mike Tomlin? How much is he to blame for their current status? And how does this affect how the Rooneys handle the franchise and their head coaching position moving forward? We'll get to all that and more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stick with us here. We got a lot to discuss. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. If you're going down to the North Shore, best place to go right now is Mike's Beer Bar. It's on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. They have over 20 televisions, and you can catch all of your NFL, college football, Penguins, Riverhounds, Premier League, NBA, college hoops action, and you can even reserve tables with your specific game in mind, tuned into the game that you want to watch with your group of friends. And when you get there, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area. 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And that's always changing because they're always switching in new beers every single week so that they'll never run out of options. And trust me, I never do because I'm always there. You can try their steak on a stone for an awesome meal where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone so that every time you cut off a piece of steak, you push that into the stone and you choose how well done you want every single bite. Mike's Beer Bar is the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Come get your sports fix at Mike's Beer Bar and experience the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers after their loss 21-18. To the New England Patriots. We now switch to the AcriSure Fan Advantage. We were blessed enough to have Greg Bedard do our full episode where we talked to an opponent expert this week, and that was he covers the Patriots for the Boston Sports Journal. But now we get to the question part of the AcriSure Fan Advantage, where all season long you can submit your questions to be answered by myself and Brian here by going to AcriSure.com/FanAdvantage. More information on there as the AcriSure Fan Advantage gets you closer to the team than ever before. This question comes from Benjamin O, and I'm going to try to paraphrase this as best as possible because this is a three-paragraph-long question. We'll try to break this down into the important part. Benjamin O, who asks us, Brian, says he leads off by saying, hey, I'm a fan of Mike Tomlin. I think that the way that he handles press conferences is positive. He's also been great to good with building a strong locker room culture at the beginning of his tenure and since then. He says, but he also said it makes a lot of sense for the Steelers to trade him to teams like Washington, the Chargers, maybe even the Bears if they can get a first pick, first round pick, a second round pick, and a third round pick. He's like, Tomlin, I'm sure, wants to see the Steelers succeed, and another first rounder gives them a shot at finding a foundational player, maybe a quarterback. The Chargers have a franchise quarterback. The Commanders have new ownership looking for stability in their situation. And the Bears have two first-round picks with no stability. So why wouldn't that make sense for them? He says, not only that, with Tomlin's contract status, this contract runs out at 2024, there's reason to believe the teams would trade for him and not have to bid for him on the open market next to extend him. So a little bit of planning there ahead by Benjamin O. And I think it's a reasonable question because trading coaches has happened in the past. Most recently, Sean Payton was traded from the Saints to the Broncos. The Saints got back a first and a second round pick, where the Broncos got a third. Bruce Arians was traded from the Cardinals to the Bucks. And then you have to go all the way back to guys like Herm Edwards and John Gruden and Bill Belichick for other coaches who had been traded in the decade before. But Brian, should the Steelers trade Mike Tomlin, and how realistic do you think getting that kind of compensation would be for his state with some of these other teams that are looking for stability?
Yeah, I mean, Benjamin ended his email with, why won't this happen? I don't know. I mean, maybe it will. Maybe it will. Who knows? I don't think so, because my usual response to questions like this are, we're not running a video game Madden franchise here. There are human dynamics at play. It's not as simple as this would be good for the Steelers and this would be good for the Bears. Make the trade. Like, Mike Tomlin's he's got a family. He's got a daughter who's going to be doing college gymnastics at Georgia next year, which is obviously in the southeastern part of the United States. He has a home here. He's made his home here for 17 years. He might have zero interest in that. And I don't think the Steelers are going to say, sorry, Mike, we've enjoyed it, but pack your bags. Thanks for helping us win that one Super Bowl and winning a bunch of AFC North titles. It's a business. Like, no, that's not how they operate. That's not how a lot of people in the NFL operate. And that's why a lot of the coaching trades that you referenced there, they've happened because of extenuating circumstances. It's not like, hey, we've got a player who he doesn't fit us anymore. We've got younger guys in the pipeline. We're going to send him over for a first round pick. No, like Sean Payton stepped away. Who was the other one right before him?
One second, we pull it back up. Bruce Arians.
Yeah, Arians had stepped away. Like, you know, there's usually strange things that happen, and teams retain rights to these coaches, and then you figure out a path forward. Let's assume Mike Tomlin's cool with it. Then let's assume Mike Tomlin is like, all right, maybe this is the end of the road for me here, but I'm not done yet. I don't want to go to the booth. I don't want to sit around and do nothing all day in Pittsburgh or anywhere else. So maybe he does want it. In that case, it becomes a very interesting question of, all right, if you're the Steelers, if teams are offering to give you a first round pick, which I think would happen, those three teams Benjamin laid out there make a lot of sense, and maybe others would too. If teams want to do that, do you have to look back at it and say, wait, if teams do want to give us a first round pick for our head coach, should we not want to get rid of our head coach? Like, it's kind of that circular logic of, you know, where do you stand ultimately right now on Tomlin? Is he the biggest problem? Does he need to be out one way or the other? I'd certainly rather get something in return for a guy rather than outright fire him or let him walk. But what are your thoughts, Chris? Like, I'm curious. I don't have the latest updated Mike Tomlin approval rating rankings, but it's no secret. You're usually one of the higher on him in general in this media ecosystem. Where's your head at after these back-to-back losses?
My thing is this, is that he can't escape the blame for the state of the Steelers right now. And I, you know, just like I give him credit for the wins that set up again, I think that the culture and the things that he set up helped them get to 7-4 in the first place, just like it's helped them avoid losing seasons his entire career. But it's also helped set up these last two losses, which were historic. And I think part of it delves into the structure that the Steelers are right now. When you look at the way the Steelers are built, and I want to get more, we'll delve more into this in the next segment too. But when the Steelers defense is having a bad game, and they were having a bad game in the first half, they were terrible. There's usually a foot that is put down at some point that says, all right, this stops now. And at least you saw that in the second half, where they played much better in the second half. They shut the Patriots out like they should have shut the Patriots out for the most part of the first half. But that happens because they have guys that step up as leaders on that side of the ball. Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Even, I'd say, even say Landon Roberts gets in that into that conversation. I think that's part of it. And I think Mike Tomlin, he has never been a coach to baby people. He is always, he says, hey, I am challenging you to be a professional, to be a grown man, and to handle this position and do that yourself. And I think for 16 years, that has been what this team has needed. They have responded. I think that in your time covering them, Brian, after every big loss the Steelers have suffered, every embarrassing moment, they have bounced back and said, okay, that is not who we are. This is the first time in that in I think his tenure head coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers that they haven't responded like that. And that's why this is unprecedented territory for me. And because, yeah, I am one of
you got to have unprecedented conversations. I mean, that's just the reality exactly. Of it.
That's where I'm at, is that, like, I've defended Mike Tomlin when the Steelers have lost a playoff game because a fifth round or a fifth running back fumbled in the fourth quarter, or when they were fighting against a really good team on the road in a must win game and they fumbled twice in the fourth quarter in situations that I was like, coaching wasn't the biggest problem today. They're either hurt up or and these were key mistakes that just needed to not be made. Sure. You know, I think there's been times where he has caught flack for things that I'm like, this ain't on coaching. He put them in a good situation to win. But I think right now you have to acknowledge that when we keep asking the players what is going on, what's about preparation, and they say, hey, we knew what we needed to do. We didn't get it done. So it's about an execution problem. And now it's consistently about an execution problem in these two horrific losses. Then you have to ask, what is the disconnect there? Is it straight up coaching? Is it motivation? Is the message resonating with the rest of the team? And I think it resonates with the defense because they at least are able to answer to things and improve and take steps forward. It is obviously not resonating on offense. And I think part of that is because there is no leader on this offense. And there are guys who can lead at times, but there's no Cam Hayward who, like, you know, runs out the tunnel with the Franco Harris flag last year that everyone can get behind on offense. I think Najee Harris has moments where people get behind him. I think that Kenny Pickett was elected to be the captain, but when you don't play well in a season, he can't be while he's hurt right now. But even when he wasn't hurt, you can't, it's tough for you to be the leading voice when you're not playing well. And then you look around, who are the other veterans in the offense that you could even say could step up into that role? You know, maybe Isaac Seumalo, but he's not a vocal guy. James Daniels, he's not a vocal guy. Do you want Deontay Johnson being your vocal leader? Like that, I think that's the problem that they're going through on offense. And for Mike Tomlin, he is not the guy that's going to massage your ego. He's going to be the guy that's being like, hey, I have an expectation you got to meet. I'm going to challenge you week in and week out to meet this expectation this week expectation next week. And that coaching style has not helped this offense. And I think that's the big question the Steelers have, is that coaching style can work if you have at least one leader on both sides of the ball that can set the tone and get guys to rise up to those moments. So the Rooneys, I think, have a decision to make. Is that coaching style what you want? And you say, hey, we just need to get him that one guy on offense. Maybe we need to find him the quarterback, or need to develop him the quarterback and get an OC that helps do that. Or do we need to go in a complete direction entirely? And for years, I have said, you know, some of the losses that I think people have, you know, thrown up the fire Mike Tomlin bandwagon, even when they've been like 13-3, I'm like, that's ridiculous. But like you said, unprecedented losses lead to unprecedented conversations that we have not had before. And that's where I think the Steelers legitimately have to start at least the exploration of the idea of what life needs to be like without Mike Tomlin, if they determine that building without him and finding a new message to build around is the future for this franchise.
Yeah, let's continue that in the third segment. But to finish up with Benjamin's question, maybe it will happen. I don't know. Coaching trades are weird inherently. I think there is something to be said for great coaches can get stale and then be great again with a different fit. Andy Reid, Philly to Kansas City, one of the best examples of that. Maybe we'll see that with Bill Belichick in these next few years. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, for a first round pick for Mike Tomlin, if I'm the Steelers, in a vacuum, Yeah, I'd probably do it because of everything we just talked about with whether it's time to move on from him anyway. But we'll go a little deeper here soon.
Absolutely. Let's get into that a lot deeper here. And I think there's a lot more context to be brought up here with the coaching situations, not just with the Steelers, but abroad. But before we do that, I want to remind you, the show is also brought to you by Savinus Canning Gallucci. They are the mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers you need with over 85 years of experience. You can call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co. We're buying tickets to your favorite events. Shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can, if you've ever had to buy tickets for an event at the last minute, don't rely on the scalpers on the street outside, because sometimes you can get scammed out of it. Go download that GameTime app right to your phone, and when you do, you can not only see the great prices that GameTime has for those tickets, but you can see the view from the seats, so you know that you're getting the value for what you're paying. And GameTime also gets you amazing discounts on those prices. You often get deals that you can't get anywhere else, and they're so confident that they're going to get you one of those deals, they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. Because if you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, GameTime will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase. To go to the website GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, leaning more into this Mike Tomlin discussion on a Friday morning here as we record. Brian, I think there's, you brought up the Eagles.
What everybody's talking about. Like, it's really it is bizarre that we're doing this when the Steelers are 7-6. And I think I was chatting with some non-Steelers fan friends who are NFL fans of other teams, and some of them are kind of like, what is even going on? Is the Steelers fan base that spoiled? Like, try being the Jets and having some real problems, man. But no, I mean, it is an apples to oranges scenario, because the Steelers are not the Jets, and Mike Tomlin has been here for 17 years. So that to me is what makes it a fascinating, intriguing topic, and not a dead horse here on a podcast where I think we do try to not just follow narratives and, you know, take the low hanging fruit all the time.
Right. I think that's the thing. There's people in this town that have this conversation every day, regardless of the Steelers record. Like, right. It's just, should Mike Tomlin be fired? Should Mike Tomlin be fired? Should Mike Tomlin be fired? We don't do that here. We that's why we dig into a lot of the intricacies of the game, of the team. And I think that's why we have those discussions. But when you have losses like this, again, you open new doors, and that's why we're here right now. But I want to get back to the conversation of coaches and new venues, because you brought up the Eagles with Andy Reid, and that's like the popular one that everyone always brings up. And I think it's relevant, of course. Andy Reid, when he was with the Eagles, they got to NFC championship after NFC championship after NFC championship. I think they got the four straight and only won one of them. And then at one point they fell to a 4-12 season. And after that, the Eagles were like, Andy, thanks for your service. We're going to move on. Andy Reid immediately picks up a job with the Chiefs, turns them into a serious contender, eventually gets them Patrick Mahomes, and they're a two-time Super Bowl champion. But a lot of people say, well, the Eagles, they've won a Super Bowl since then. I also think it's interesting. The Eagles kind of didn't just arrive there after getting rid of Andy Reid. They had Chip Kelly as a head coach. He got fired. They had like Pat Shurmur come in, and then it was their third coach when they got Doug Peterson that they got that. But even in doing so, it wasn't like they became a dominant team. They had a hot run at one year, and then Doug Peterson was fired the season after, and they were kind of in limbo. And I think that they're in a good position with Nick Sirianni, but they just lost. And yes, they did win a Super Bowl, but they also just lost a Super Bowl to the coach that they just fired this past year. And, you know, he's the guy that's got the best quarterback in the league and everything. And I think that, sure, where you have your Eagles that have benefited from moving on from that, in a kind of a weird way that it wasn't a direct correlation for fire him, you get better. I think you also have examples in recent NFL history of keeping coaches or it working out. You know, I think the New York Giants, there was two times where they won those two Super Bowls where Tom Coughlin was on the hot seat both times before that, and they stuck with him, and both times he got them two historic Super Bowl wins, beating Tom Brady both times, one of those in one of the most memorable Super Bowls ever, with beating the undefeated Patriots that year. And then the third time they got into a hot, he got into a hot seat. They fired him before he could try to turn things around. And ever since then, they've been a laughingstock. You can go to Sean Payton, 3 straight 7-9 seasons. The Saints never blinked. And eventually he turned them around, got them 4 straight division championships. They didn't get a Super Bowl, but they were much better. Pete Carroll had back-to-back losing seasons before his Super Bowl. Heck, the Steelers are a shining example. Bill Cowher had back-to-back losing seasons, then missed the playoffs the next year, and then got an extension. And I remember as a kid, I think it was Bob Smizek, for this very paper, wrote, I don't understand this, and said, I don't understand why this guy just got an extension when they haven't been relevant for 4 years, and this year they just missed the playoffs, but they still weren't a good team. And Dan Rooney's reasoning for that when he made that decision back in 2000 was the team came together. They were, I believe, 5-6 going down the stretch there, Brian. And they finished that season 4-1 to go 9-7. And he felt confident that the locker room was still in a place where it believed in Bill Cowher and that they could move forward with that. I think that's where this team is right now. Not that they're 5-6 and this is the 2000 Steelers all over again. But I think that Art Rooney has to see, does this team, do these players still get behind when Mike Tomlin says, all right, boys, let's get out there and fight? Do they give that kind of an effort? Because if they do in these last 4 games, I actually think that Mike Tomlin's job is safe, and they'll make lots of changes elsewhere. I think they'll change a lot on the offensive coaching staff, and I think they'll make more investments to try to build this roster in different ways. But I think that's where the crux of this. I don't think that everything's settled for the Rooneys, but I think that they are now on watch to see how do things get handled here, because that will play a big part of the conversation of what needs to happen to head coach.
I'm generally a proponent of patience and stability too. It's always the easiest thing to do to say, just fire them, bring somebody else in here and swing for the fences. You know, you might get stuck on the coaching carousel like a lot of teams in the NFL if you do that. But there's also something to be said for how long are you really comfortable treading water and enjoying let's be honest, it's a high floor with Mike Tomlin. And I'm sure that's how other franchises, to go back to the trading idea, that's probably how other franchises would view it too. Like, man, we've been through some really, really ugly seasons where our fan base checks out on us and people don't come to the games. We at least know that probably won't happen with this guy running the ship, because it never has happened under his watch in the NFL. So what I would say to your notion of, you know, revamping things, especially offensively, and banking on the idea that, hey, change up some other variables, Tomlin will be able to get back to the promised land if you change up the structure a bit. That may be, but also it's a little bit of a moving the goalpost conversation, because he's had the chance to revamp the offensive coaching staff. Mm-hmm. He picked Matt Canada to replace Randy Feitner. And I suppose the Ben Roethlisberger factor is sort of an extenuating circumstance there. It was not an easy transition. And then that's another part of this too, is, hey, are we collectively having a little bit too much of a rash reaction to the inevitable changing of the guard when you lose a franchise quarterback that you had in place for 18 years?
Very good point.
The Packers are an anomaly. They are a phenomenon. The Chiefs hit the succession plan right on the money. Alex Smith, the Patrick Mahomes, but those are the exceptions and not the rule. There's a lot more of the current state of the Patriots, or the current, you know, what happened to the Colts after Andrew Luck abruptly retired. So that's generally how things go. You play quarterback roulette, and you hope your number hits and that you're back in, you know, in the swing of things for a while. So I don't know. It does ring true with me that things do get stale. Sometimes you do need to make a change and not be afraid of change, because otherwise you sit here and you say, all right, the Canada experiment wasn't good. Let's see what Tomlin can do hiring the next offensive coordinator and bring this philosophy into modern football in the NFL in 2024. But if that doesn't work out, is it going to become, well, the Kenny Pickett pick was a mistake. Let's see what he can do with another quarterback, under center. But if that doesn't work out, do you then turn it back and say, oh, maybe this offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator needs it? Like, just eventually the blame has to rest with the head coach, and there needs to be measures taken in response to that blame being with the head coach. And that's the entire point of people who make decisions with hirings and firings and in this league or this team or any league or any team. So let's see how the rest of the season plays out. Like we said, I feel like there have been very low moments under Tomlin before, but this is a rock bottom of sorts, and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of hope on the horizon. He said, this is who we are and this is what we do. And that's what gives him the faith that they'll get it turned around, but it's not going to be easy. And if it doesn't happen, then you start leaving open to interpretation. Are we still who we are? Do we still do what we do?
That's the big question, right? I think that's where the Steelers are at right now, is they're trying to find those answers. And, you know, it's funny, you know, I go back to your point. You talk to people that, you know, watch teams across the NFL and they're passionate about other teams. And for Steelers fans to say that 7-6 is rock bottom, I bet you that, like you said, there's Lions fans though. They're feeling right good right now. Like, you understand what rock bottom really is? We have seen 0-16 seasons. Like that's been a factor here. I mean, but Brian, in you and my lifetime, I think I'm older than you. I was born in 89. When were you born? You
91. 91. So, you wouldn't know it from my backwards hat that I wear that always gets our commenters triggered. I wouldn't wear it today, but there should be a trigger warning next time I wear a backwards hat on the pod. We always get an angry comment about that, as if I should look like I'm giving my dissertation as opposed to sitting in my dining room talking about football. But I digress.
But point being, since 89, this team has never finished in last place in whatever division, whether it's the AFC Central or the AFC North. The worst seasons that they've had were 6-10 twice under Bill Cowher in the 90s. That's it. They've never had the 3-loss season, the 4-loss season, where they've been a top 5 pick naturally. I think that the best position draft-wise they've been was 11th overall when they picked Ben Roethlisberger in my lifetime. And I think that that's where you have a point that, you know, maybe the Rooneys recognize that, like, hey, he is Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin is very much a big part of the reason why they have the 7 wins that they have right now, because, you know, Cam Hayward denied and pushed back against the narrative that it's been smoke and mirrors for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get some of those wins. And I think that smoke and mirrors can be an insulting term to teams that are fighting hard. But I think what people mean to say when they say smoke and mirrors is they're like, hey, like, you guys don't have an offense that normally would lead to winning results.
It wasn't sustainable. It's not that it was smoke and mirrors. It just was not sustainable. You look at things like point differential and advanced metrics. Like, you know, it was clear to see from the outside that they were winning games in more of a fluky nature than with sustained excellence on both sides of the ball.
But I think part of what set that up was they were forcing so many matchups to go in their way in a lot of different situations. They were kind of putting games into a telephone booth and saying, hey, we're going to hope that this variable is what gets us over the top. And that had won them so many games. You know,
but eventually you're going to regress to the mean when that's what you're doing.
Exactly, because you can't always get the games in the telephone booth. You can't always force all these things to fit into the one thing.
It's eventually, an odd shaped ball. It takes funny bounces. You know, yeah,
exactly. I mean, that's exactly the issue. Right. I think you and I are on the same page here. The best teams are the teams that find so many different ways to win. I can beat you with my passing game, my running game, my pass rush, my run defense, my secondary is able to make plays. The Steelers have one way to beat you. Their defense gets after you. Their run game runs on you, and they protect the lead. That is how they have won almost all of their games this season. And sure, they've had fourth quarter comebacks and things like that, but it's been asking the bare minimum of their offense. That's where I think the Steelers are right now. And I think that plays into who they've been. But I think that's the thing, is that acknowledging coaching has helped them, I think, maximize the results of that. The question will be, can coaching get you to get past that at some point? That's where the Rooneys have to ask the question about Mike Tomlin and this entire coaching staff as far as how this franchise moves forward. Does this coaching staff find a way to get them back? Because we've seen it before. I mean, you go back to You go back to, you know, even forget the Super Bowl runs that they that they had. Let's go back to 2014. They were 7-5 late in that season. They ended up winning out, won the division that year. 2015, they started out 4-4. They finished they won seven straight they won seven of the next eight, went 11-5. 2016, they at one point lost four straight games, dropped to 4-5. They went then won nine straight games to get to the AFC Championship game. 2019, with no Ben Roethlisberger, down to Duck Hodges, that team found a way to scrap to get to 8-5. And yes, they collapsed to 8-8, but I think everyone in the NFL agreed that team overachieved to get to that point. Mike Tomlin clearly has had messages when the Steelers teams have hit quote unquote rock bottom, including last year when they were 2-6 and found a way to get to 9-8. The question the Rooneys have to have is, has he burned all his bullets for his career to make those type of things happen in seasons? If they think he has, then they have to move on. But if they think that he can still do things like that, and the real issue of this team is finding competent quarterback play, because frankly, they don't have that right now, they need to then ask themselves, how soon can we make that change? Because if you can find a coach that can fix things on offense faster than you can find a quarterback that might fix things on offense, I think that is going to be the crux of how they build this franchise moving forward to try to get them back to being a winner. And again, the Steelers could go crazy, win four in a row at the end of the season, and then everyone's talking about like, oh, see, this was a great year. And you know, some people will want to forget these two games that happened. I don't think it will happen, but I think that this conversation still needs to be had by the Rooneys, and exploration needs to be made in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily blame somebody who's like, hey, all this baloney about coaching messaging and not losing the team and even game planning and adjustments like that. None of it matters as much as the talent that you have and the Jimmys and the Joes. Like, let's be honest.
That's very true.
And okay. And that's fair. But also then you have to acknowledge Mike Tomlin has about as much power as any head coach in this league. Yep. When it comes to constructing the roster and picking that personnel that you said matters more than anything. So he can't, somebody's kind of out of their depth a little bit when they say, oh, look what he's doing with this crap roster. You got to tip your cap to him. I mean, come on. It's not, can't act like it's the owner and the GM putting these guys on Mike Tomlin's plate and saying, make a good meal. That's just not how it works in Pittsburgh. So then you need to take a step back and say, what's the evaluation process that's leading us to these rosters that aren't good enough? So it's really just a multi-layered, fascinating, again, discussion, and it's nuanced. I think this was a good one. You know, we're neither one of us has any sort of agenda. Obviously, we're not neither one of us is sitting up here saying they've got to fire Mike Tomlin at the end of this season, or right. You guys are being way too hard on Mike Tomlin, give him a lifetime contract. That's not what this conversation was about. So hopefully people enjoyed it, and we'll see what happens. It is not where anybody expected us to be 2 weeks prior to this, but this is
6 days prior to this, Brian. Yeah. 6 days ago.
yeah. This is really where the Steelers are right now.
Absolutely.
It's a turning point for sure. Some sort of turning point, I guess. But
I do think there is a fork in the road for the Steelers. If they fall apart, it opens up an even more conversation, because I don't think Mike Tomlin's ever lost a locker room. But if they build back up, it goes back to, man, that guy finds a way to rally teams and get them the winning seasons. Is that the kind of coach that you want to keep building with moving forward? We'll have a lot more discussions about this. I'm sure we'll talk about this with Ray Fittipaldi on our Monday episode of the North Shore Drive podcast. But we have a lot to still cover here for Post-Gazette Sports. Jason Mackey has been doing a fantastic job covering the winter meetings and all the moves that the Pirates are trying to make this offseason as they try to build themselves to be a competitive team this upcoming season. But also, lots of action going down this weekend. Noah Hiles is doing all the good work for us at the Whipfield Champ, or not the Whipfield Champ, the state championships right now for high school football. Alec Quippa won a big game on Thursday night while the Steelers were losing. And he's been covering that there along with other games like Westinghouse that plays Saturday. Get all his coverage at Post-Gazette.com. And of course, Pitt Sports has a big weekend. Pitt basketball resumes Saturday, but the big game everyone's going to be looking at is Pitt volleyball in the Elite Eight against their vaunted rivals, Louisville. And it'll be at the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. We'll have Abby Schnabel there. I'm going to try to poke my head in, Brian, right across the street as I try to like get ready for the Pitt basketball game at the Pete at the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. But all that coverage can be had at Post-Gazette.com. NorthShoreDrive.com. And of course, on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's podcasting channels, whether on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed. Subscribe to this channel to get all of those episodes. Thanks again to Brian. Thanks again to you all for tuning in to us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm back Monday with Ray Fittipaldi. We'll look more and deeper at this Pittsburgh Steelers team. We'll see you then right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.